You are listening to the Saturday Swing Session on 90.5 WICN Jazz Plus for New England. I'm Howard Kaplan. Joining me now is conductor, trumpet virtuoso, singer, and actor Byron Stripling, who has ignited audiences around the world. He will perform this Wednesday, May 17th, and Thursday, May 18th at 8 p.m. at Symphony Hall in Boston with conductor Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops. Byron himself serves as the principal Pops conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and is the artistic director and conductor of the highly acclaimed Columbus Jazz Orchestra. He has conducted countless orchestras throughout the U.S. and Canada and has played with just about all the jazz greats. Not kidding. He was the lead trumpeter and soloist of the Count Basie Orchestra under the direction of Thad Jones and Frank Foster, and has soloed with more than 100 orchestras around the world. It gives me great, great pleasure to say good morning to you, Mr. Byron Stripling. Welcome to WICN.
It's a joy to be with you, and it appears from what you're reading all those things is I can't keep a job.
Love it.
All these different people, I couldn't keep one job.
Oh, no, contraire. You know, I wanted to first ask a lot of our guests this question when we start things off. I wanted to start off by how and why did you end up becoming a musician?
Well, I feel that the highest form of hope is art.
Yes.
And I think that music has an incredible power to move people, and I learned that early in my life. My father was a classical singer who listened to classical music all morning. Then when he got home from work, he put on Miles Davis and Clifford Brown, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Ben Webster, the big bands he loved, Basie, Ellington, so many others. And then after he had a little bit of glass of wine, he put on the Temptations and the Four Tops and Smokey Robinson and the Miracles and on and on and on. I had music all over my house, and it always lifted me when I was low or if I was on a high, meaning if I felt really good about everything, it even made me feel better. So music has sort of soundtracked my life, particularly the great jazz music that I eventually really fell in love with. So that's how I got to this. It was really through my family who showed us the power of music. And by the way, if you think about any important event in your life, usually it is soundtracked by great music, and you can use that throughout your life. When you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling elated, whatever, I think music can complement any of those things and help you get through good times and bad times.
Who inspired you growing up, Byron?
Well, in addition to my father and my family, records inspired me. Just for your listeners that don't know what records are, they're like big CDs. But we always had records in the house. And so, as I mentioned before, I remember my dad put on a recording of Duke Ellington. I heard Count Basie's band all the time. He loved the big band era a lot. And then he put on Dizzy Gillespie, and I was blown away. I mean, we could talk about Dizzy specifically later because I'll be featuring some of his music with the Boston Pops. But it's just the influences were actually people I had never met. Eventually, I got to know Dizzy Gillespie really well. But it was so powerful because those people like Louis Armstrong and King Oliver and Big Spiderbeck literally like reached out of the speaker, grabbed a hold of my life and took me on a journey for which I will never forget. And essentially music and that music of hearing those great trumpet players changed my life. And that's why I'm glad to be celebrating with the Boston Pops all these great trumpet players.
You know, you had the opportunity and the great fortune of performing and working very closely with Dizzy Gillespie. Can you tell us what that was like?
Sure. Well, you know, it's the most funny thing, because Dizzy was like a very funny person. One of the stories I remember, I mean, I was enamored of him, but as soon as I got to travel with him, I traveled with his own big band throughout Europe and concerts in the States. And then I did a tour with Dizzy Gillespie and the great Billy Eckstein, the singer, with a Count Basie band. They were our guests for a whole tour around the United States. And so getting to be with those guys. And so I would go to breakfast wherever we were every morning with Dizzy. And at that time in the late 80s, you know, early 80s probably, he was so famous In fact, Dizzy once told me, he said, you know, I've never had a publicist. I was like, really? He goes, no. He goes, my trumpet and my cheeks and my upturned horn always sold everything. So if anybody ever needed an interview with me, they just, you know, call my manager and we'd hook them up with an interview. So when we would go to a restaurant, Dizzy was immediately recognizable. And people would come up to the table, and it could be at 8 in the morning or something. It's like, my goodness, are you Dizzy Gillespie? And he'd look at them straight in the eye, and he'd say, you mean to tell me as ugly as Dizzy Gillespie is, you think I'm Dizzy Gillespie? and that would always get a laugh. And then Dizzy would enamor these people, and he was a friend to everybody, much like Louis Armstrong. He loved people, and his music, you felt that love.
What is your philosophy of conducting, actually switching over to your other life, because you have conducted, you're a conductor of the Pittsburgh Pops, of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, and of the very highly acclaimed Columbus Jazz Orchestra. What's your general philosophy of leadership and conducting?
Well, with leadership, you hope that when you show up, that things get better, that you're not the person that's doing the playing or the work, even in a company, is that you provide this environment for people to, well, they want to complain, and you have to really be a good listener and realize that there can be some real validity in what people that you're leading tell you, or you have to translate messages that they're giving you, and maybe they just need attention. They need to be heard, and that's important. As a leader, you need to protect the people that you lead. You never disparage anybody in front of people. Private conversations are great with people. But the end of this leadership game is that you didn't do this, but because you were there, you were able to make things a little bit better. And people can feel that. They can feel the power of your leadership. So it's not essentially that you're, let me show you guys the right way. It's really like, how can I bring these people together? And in the terms of an orchestra or any big ensemble, that you're able to shape and mold and sculpt it into something that it wouldn't have been as good had you not shown up. And if you can do that for people, and we all have a good experience, that's a shared experience. That's not me. It's us together. So it's really about bringing people together. The other thing with leadership is you have to constantly improve your knowledge and your skill, because that's the example you want to give to people. Rather than speak things, better to show them. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Show them. And so you're just like moving your mouth, and you, that you're actually, through your actions, through your discipline, through the things that you do, that you can show them this is the path that we're going to be on.
That's right. You want to set an example.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, one of your big things is performing and conducting Pops orchestras in particular. How did you make that leap from straight ahead jazz, big bands, and soloing on the trumpet to Pops and symphony orchestras?
Did you say how do I, what was the last part of the
question? Sure. How did you make the leap from, how did you kind of jump over from straight ahead soloing?
So that sort of speaks to what I talked at the beginning with the beginnings of my life. Having a father that was he was a classical singer, which was rare to have a black man in the 60s and 50s. He was born in the 30s, recently passed away, and I miss him dearly. But I saw him study constantly. This is the same example we're talking about with leadership. And if you're a parent, you're also a leader. And what I saw from example, my father said, yes, you should practice. My father abhorred laziness. He was very about being disciplined. So I would often see him at night studying scores, because he was a choir director too. He also wrote music and arranged music. And so I would see him late at night working, and it'd be like 2 o'clock. I would get up to use the bathroom, and there'd be Dad studying. So my work ethic came from him. And then when I went to the Eastman School of Music, which is a conservatory for music,
right,
there was no jazz degree. I got a degree in classical trumpet. And actually I left before my final semester my senior year, because Lionel Hampton called me, the great vibraphone player, and said, hey, I want you to play with my band. And I asked my parents, and they said, well, we have to think about it. And I said, they called me back, and they said, what if we told you we don't want you to do this?
Oh.
And I say, I would do it anyway. And they said, that's what we figured, so you have our blessing. But But I had almost 4 years of classical training, but I was starting to play jazz around then, and that's when Lionel Hampton called me, and he called me because a trumpet player named Clark Terry, who was one of the greatest trumpet players in the world, became a mentor to me, and he recommended me to Lionel Hampton. Then he recommended me to play in Woody Herman's band. Then he recommended me to play in Count Basie's band. And so that was my foundation of jazz in addition to practicing it. So you put this together. You put together classical training. You put together jazz training. You put together that my first gig ever, let's talk about the Boston Pops now. Yeah. My first gig with an orchestra as a soloist was with John Williams conducting the Boston Pops. So that's my very first, and that's 1987, something like that, you know. That's my first gig. So that's what a way to go, you know, to start. You know, it wasn't like I was in, you know, the middle of nowhere with some orchestra. So I had the skills, and then you keep refining your skills. I'll say something quickly about conducting. The other reason I started conducting was because whenever I would be in an orchestra, I'd be complaining, like, well, why is he taking the tempo so slow? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that? Yeah. And my friend said, you know what? You need to be quiet, or you need to become a conductor. And they didn't say that because they thought I would be good. They just wanted me to shut up, right? that sort of put up, shut up. It's like, okay, if you think you can be better, then you need to be on the podium. And so I do have my own ideas about music, so that's one reason I started conducting.
We're talking with world-famous trumpet virtuoso, as well as singer, actor, and just all-around wonderful person, Byron Stripling. And he is really a master of so many different things, but in particular, playing the trumpet. He is one of the very best trumpet players of all time. And I wanted to ask you, you mentioned Lionel Hampton. What was it like working and playing with Lionel Hampton?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a really unique experience. The first tour I did with him, I had a one-night audition, and he says, hey, I want you to come to Europe with me in the next couple days. 6 weeks in Europe. And so I got to, you know, sit on the bus with this man. If you remember, one of the first recordings of UB Blake's song, I believe, Memories of You, was recorded by Louis Armstrong, and he had a vibes player on there, and that was Lionel Hampton. So Lionel Hampton would tell me stories about Louis Armstrong. They used to play that song, When You're Smiling, and he just talked about the intensity of that Louis Armstrong would play that song and how the tempo was really slow, and how Louis would just build it up. So I learned those kinds of lessons. And so Lionel Hampton said, let's play When You're Smiling, you and me, just you, me, and the rhythm section. And here's the guy giving me an opportunity, and I'm like scared because this is Lionel Hampton who played with Louis Armstrong. But one thing that you find about great masters and great teachers is they're there for you, and you'll fall on your face. And that's what you have to do. Anytime you do anything well, you have your first to get to playing it well, you're uncomfortable when you first do it. But I was fortunate enough, as so many of us have had mentors, and I considered Lionel Hampton like a mentor. He's like, okay, let's do When You're Smiling again, and this time give it another go and try to do this and try to do that and go for a big ending and that kind of stuff. And so I learned from Lionel's structure, how to program a show, how to play. I don't know if you're playing too long or if you're not playing enough and that kind of thing. So a great experience, and I miss Lionel very much.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all do, and we do feature his music and your music on here on the Saturday Swing Session every Saturday. Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I hope you don't mind.
Okay, I'm very nervous.
Oh, here we go. So of all the many things you do, I think you know what's coming. Soloing, conducting, big bands, symphony and pops orchestras, recording albums with stars, and we haven't even talked about that, but all the many entertainment stars, and teaching, what is your number one favorite thing to do? How about that?
Yeah, I mean, this question doesn't really throw me, I mean, because the answer is not the one you expect. It's the thing I'm going to do tonight, and then tomorrow afternoon, I'll conduct the Baltimore Symphony. I will play. We're going to open up with Don't Mean a Thing if It Ain't Got That Swing. Mm-hmm. Then we'll play St. James Infirmary. Then I'll conduct the singer in Tisket a Tasket. And then she'll do Mr. Paganini. And then we'll do Our Love Is Here to Stay. And then a tap dancer will come out. We'll do a Sammy Davis thing, a tap dancing on Smile During Your Smile. Then we'll play I Got Rhythm. That's what I'm doing tomorrow, and that's what I can't wait to do. And then Sunday we'll do the same show. Then I'll travel to Boston, and then I'll go through the Trumpet Kings. And I'll play music of Harry James and Miles Davis and Cootie Williams and Louis Armstrong and Dizzy Gillespie. And that'll be my favorite thing. So actually, Howard, I'm going to add an advantage. I don't have to choose one of those things.
Right.
It's like, you know, I think it was Kierkegaard, the philosopher, who said, once you label me, you negate me. And so I'm not into the labels. My favorite thing I'm doing is the thing I'm doing right now. That's that whole thing of seize the day and live in the moment. You know. Right. So if I'm just going to be in a coffee shop, which I do a couple times a year, there's a coffee shop in my neighborhood, I go there and play for free. And I get as much joy from that as I do if I'm playing in front of 2,000 people. Or the other day we had 8,000 people in a stadium. I conducted the Syracuse Symphony Orchestra in the music of Motown. What's not to like?
Wow. You know? Wow.
Somebody else has a different opinion on what makes them happy. I'm just giving you what makes me happy, because some people say, oh, you're doing too much. You're not a master of nothing and, you know, all that kind of thing. No, whatever I'm doing right now, I love it.
Au contraire, you are a master of trumpet playing and everything. We're talking with Byron Stripling, trumpet connoisseur, trumpet virtuoso, here on 90.5 WICN Jazz Plus for New England on the Saturday Swing Session. You talked a little bit about what you're going to be doing with Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops. You did talk a little bit about that. Anything else you want to mention? Wednesday and
sure.
Thursday nights, go to bso.org for tickets. And we are looking forward to your performances at Symphony Hall. What's up then?
Well, this is an amazing show. And again, as you mentioned, it's May 17th and 18th, which is this coming Wednesday and Thursday. So we want everybody to grab a ticket and go hear this. Here's some of the things that you're going to experience in that. Harry James. I mean, he was the trumpet star of the big band era, and people don't normally think of that. And what's really cool is Keith Lockhart knows jazz, because a lot of, you know, conductors, they'll know some Broadway music and a few things. But he's like, yeah, we got to do some Harry James. And so we're going to do You Made Me Love You. That was probably one of Harry's biggest hits. We'll do a trumpet Cantabile, I think it's called, which has got these blues variations that Harry James did. But right. I just want people to know that during the 40s and the 50s, Harry James was one of the hottest bands in the country. And then I've got to make this distinction to you. Everybody that we will play, all the trumpet players we'll play tribute to, were inspired by Louis Armstrong, including and especially Harry James.
Right.
Harry had this amazing vibrato and a way of singing through his horn. He got that from Louis Armstrong. Then we'll go into people like, and this is another Keith Lockhart. He goes, well, we've got to do some Cootie Williams. So we're going to do Black and Tan Fantasy by Duke Ellington, but we'll also do Take the A-Train. Original person that recorded Take the A-Train as a soloist was Ray Nance, but Cootie overtook that solo, did his own thing. But again, with Cootie, this is a trumpet player who could growl and bark and just get these guttural sounds. He sounded like he was talking through his horn. That's what he could do with that plunger music. So we'll feature music of that. Then we'll go into what I call the uncrowned king, Bix Beiderbecke.
Yes.
There's kings there, but people don't know a lot about Bix Beiderbecke. I was inspired when I heard his tune, In a Mist. And I also, We Will Play for You, Singing the Blues, which is one of the great solos. It's even got a little bit of bebop in there. It's so hip. You know, it's just like the way they wrote the changes to this one. So we will celebrate Bix Beiderbecke and this, you know, sort of a tragic life he lived, but he left us with the recordings, and we're thankful for that. We can be lifted by that music. But in that sort of same cool school, we've got to do Miles Davis, because Miles Davis taught us how to do so much more by playing less.
Right.
Although if you listen to the great Carnegie Hall concert with the Miles Davis Band and Gil Evans, he's playing Olio, and he sounds like Dizzy Gillespie. Miles always said, I sound like Dizzy Gillespie down an octave. And so that was always cool. So we'll celebrate Miles by playing Bye Bye Blackbird. Then we'll do Dizzy Gillespie, and we have to play his seminal, most important hit, and that is Night in Tunisia, which I played behind Dizzy. And by the way, we played Night in Tunisia every night with Dizzy, and he would all let all the trumpet players solo first, and then he would play the last solo and just wipe the floor with it. Just the plaster would go off the buildings. Just, yeah. You know, that's how powerful Dizzy was. And he didn't do it like to show us up. He was just so incredible as a trumpet player. And finally, we'll celebrate the master of everybody, the king of it all, Louis Armstrong. And we'll do St. Louis Blues. We'll do Alexander's Ragtime Band, which he recorded. And secretly, and you can't tell anybody else this, and I know we have a format, but we're going to do also What a Wonderful World. Oh. We have to do that in tribute to Louis Armstrong. That thing should be enough for everybody to want to come just to hear What a Wonderful World, and I'll get to sing that. So, by the way, if I could just say, Louis Armstrong came from the poverty of the streets of New Orleans and went on to become an ambassador of jazz for our country. This is the American dream. To come from poverty like that and to go on to play for kings and queens. When he went to Africa, they had to shut down like any of the little countries there that he played in because the demand to see him, he packed stadiums. That's the power of Louis Armstrong, but more than that, that's the power of jazz.
Oh, so that's such a great coda. That's such a great way to, well, we're almost out of time. I'm so sad. It's been such a pleasure talking with you. But I want to mention, in addition to performing with the Boston Pops next Wednesday and Thursday evenings, Byron, you'll be giving a master class to music students in Boston next Tuesday. Where will you be giving that, and what are the details?
I can't off the top of my head remember, but it's a great school. And the kids there have these drum lines, and they've really, and many of them go on to other music schools. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the school.
Oh, sure. Yep, I've got it. It's the Hamilton Garrett Music and Art School.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm so honored to be able to speak to them for about an hour, and I'll hear them play. And this is just one of the things that excites me most is just being able to talk to young people. Because what we know is we want kids to have instruments in their hands, because if they have instruments in their hands, then maybe they won't have guns in their hands.
Yes.
And so music is so powerful, it can even serve other purposes other than just the music.
We've been talking with Byron Stripling, formerly of the Count Basie Orchestra, so many different bands and orchestras, and doing an amazing job playing the trumpet. He's going to be soloing with the Boston Pops this coming Wednesday and Thursday evenings, May 17th and 18th at 8 p.m. at Symphony Hall in Boston. And so-called day job, his day jobs are amazing. They are as leading the Pittsburgh Pops Orchestra of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra and the Columbus Jazz Band, highly acclaimed jazz band, I might add. Byron Stripling, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to play some music, some music that you played that with the North Texas State Jazz Band, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can I listen a little bit?
Oh, you bet, actually.
Okay.
Sure. In fact, let me kind of seg it up here, and we will be ready. Thank you so much for joining us, Byron.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much, Howard.
Take care, and we'll be with you Wednesday and Thursday nights. Looking
forward to it.
Take care.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.